Okay, today is week six of our series, The Me in We. We always, you know, hear and even think, well, they ought to do something. I think they should, or I think we should, and we sometimes means they. Today, I want to talk about the me in we. And I want to talk about compassion today. And we do a wonderful job and are just continuing to outreach to our community. And I'm very excited about our new bulletin boards, and not just that they say, oh, here's Focus Church, this is our website, please come to our church, but they say there is hope for your family. There is hope for your marriage. There is hope for your children. There is hope for our nation. There is hope. That is the message on half of our billboard, and the other half has the Focus Church. And so we are doing a wonderful job in continuing, and will continue to reach into our community. But today, the compassion I want to talk to us about is our compassion to one another. And you couldn't preach a sermon on compassion without reading the Good Samaritan, because that's like the compassion chapter of the whole Bible. And I, you know, apologize that the words aren't, or, you know, the scripture isn't up there, but if you turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 10, and you use your iPhones, you can use your paper Bibles, and Luke chapter 10, verses 25. One day, an expert in religion stood up to test Jesus by asking him a question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? What do you think it says to you? The man said, well, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus said, well, do this and then you'll live. Well, the man wanted to justify his opinion and action, and he said, so who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, well, I'm going to tell you a story. Jesus told lots of stories. They're known as parables. And so Jesus said to him, there was a Jewish man traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by a bandit. They stripped him of his clothes, they beat him, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along, and when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him. Then a temple assistant, or a church elder, or a person that belongs to a church, walked over, and looked at him lying there, and then he passed to the other side of the street. Then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wound with olive oil, wine, and bandaged him. Then he put the man on his donkey, took him to the inn, where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, saying, take care of this man. If the bill runs any higher, I'll pay that when I come back. Now, he asked the man, which of these two or these three were a neighbor? And the man said, the one who shows him compassion. And Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. Now, we can read that and we can say, well, that priest, that would have been the pastor. Now, the pastor should have stopped and taken care of that guy. He should have bound his wounds. He should have did everything. And we pastors do that. I get to be the care pastor here at church. So I get lots of opportunities to touch lives. And sometimes we get, you know, we'll get our doorbell ring and there'll be somebody that's in need. And it's my job to decide when, how much, when, where, all of that to touch that life. And each time, I try to do that in an attitude of prayer. Because if you remember the story of Jonah, where Jonah was supposed to go to Nineveh, And he didn't like the Ninevites. He said, I'm not going to go speak to them, and then they'll just get saved. So I'm not even going to go. And I think we might all have our Nineveh. We might all have this place, this group of people, person, that we think is way beyond God ever touching. And sometimes when I get the knocks on the door, I tend to, and this is my thing, you know, this is where I need to move to my next level, is to stay right there in that moment, in that day, not look at how many times that person might have come ringing our doorbell. Like I said, where I need to grow is, you know, I don't often walk to the other side of the street, but sometimes I do. And the times I do is when I've seen that person in the ditch three or four times already. I can get really judgmental about that time. And God calls us to live in today. His grace comes one day at a time to us. And I think he's saying to us, give your grace one day at a time to people. Don't pull yesterday into it. Don't try to drag tomorrow into it. You know, do today. Do what God has called you to do today. Then we have the Levite. He was a church leader. And, you know, he did a little bit better than a priest, according to the scripture. The priest saw it and kept on going. And I don't know if this is the pastor in me. Probably not, but I'll blame it on that. I am a get-her-done person. And I apologize to everyone if I have ever mowed you over and went right on past when you had a need. I get my eye on the goal, and I get it done. And like I said, I apologize if I've ever hurt your feelings because I acted like you weren't even there. And that's kind of what I want to talk to all of us about today. Not so much today about what's happening outside. Somebody you may be passing outside. But how about somebody you may be passing that's sitting right in the same church we're all sitting in? Somebody's came to the church for, 5-10 years, and you've never really even had a conversation with them. I just want to challenge us this morning to get better at that. Just love on each other. Be a loving people. We get lots of comments from people that say, oh, I love this church. It's so friendly. And it is a friendly church. But I would like to see us be a compassionate, friendly church. And the Bible says they'll know we are Christians by our love for each other. So let's love on each other. That's the biggest favor we can do the people that walk in the front door. And the Samaritan, the one that went and helped the guy. Now, a Samaritan would not have naturally had one thing to do with the Jew or vice versa. They weren't pals. But the man had a heart of compassion. So he went and he didn't only help him right now, and sometimes it is a right now thing. Sometimes when we're called to help somebody, it's right now. We stop and we do what we can do for their need. Then sometimes we have to put them on our donkey and take them to someplace else where they can get their need met. And sometimes we might have to throw a little skin in the pot and say, okay, here's some money, help them with this, I'll pay the rest when I get back. There's just different levels that God has for each one of us, and each time is different. And, you know, he asked Jesus, who is my brother? And I think the Bible teaches that it's those that are in our path. It doesn't say that the priest, the Levite, or the Samaritan was going down the interstate and decided to take a back road and see if they could find somebody to be compassionate to. It says that they were on their way. They were in their path. And a lot of Jesus' ministry, he was at feasts, he was at festivals, and a lot of the New Testament, when it talks about what Jesus did, and the Bible says he was moved with compassion. Now, compassion is our word, but I want you to think about the move part. It isn't just an emotional thing. It isn't, oh, I feel really bad about that. Oh, look at that thing. or wow, I can like that, I can click that, I can send a smile, I can send a small comment, I can say praying, thinking of you, loving you. Sometimes I think it's time that we step back in because our technology has taken us. It's wonderful. We do so much with technology here at this church, and it's great. But I think it has kind of led us to this disconnected thing. And I say use it. Use technology. The enemy's using it. Let the church use the technology. But let's not, you know, think that because we've got 362 friends on Facebook and we click and smile and put an emoji on 14 pages today that we did our call to touch lives. It's part of it, but it's not all of it. If I talk to Tim or I see on Tim's page that he, you know, lost his job today, I can click on there, sorry, praying for you, and then I may pray or I may not. Face it, let's tell how it is. But if I'm sitting down looking Tim eye to eye and see Tim's heart, see that, you know, this means a whole different thing to Tim. This will change Tim's life. It'll change his family's life. That Tim is afraid. All of that, I can't see that on Facebook. And like I said, I am not dissing the things that we can touch lives on the internet. Not that at all. I'm just saying I think we've let go of the one-on-one, the personal touch. And we feel like we've touched a lot of people this week because we clicked on their page and we liked their page and we smiled at their page. But I think for us to go to the next level, like I said, I want everybody here to look around the room. Just I'll give you permission to gaze around the room for about 10 seconds. Okay, did you see anyone here that you have not sat down and had a conversation with? I'm not talking about a half hour. I just got a card or a gift from a friend of mine. We've been friends since we were 4 and 5. And I'm trying to think what that said. It said that a true friend reaches out to touch your hand and touches your heart instead. And in our greeting time, we can shake hands, but let's try looking each other in the eye, because I am the chiefest of sinners in this. Because I'll reach out and shake your hand, and it is not go past me to be looking right over your shoulder to something else I need to get done. And for that, I apologize. So when we're shaking hands with each other, let's look at each other. Let's actually take that 10 seconds and look into the eyes of that other person and let them know that for this moment in time, you are the most important person in my life. Right now, look them in the eye. Doesn't take much, won't cost you anything. You're doing it anyway, you're shaking hands already, but let's raise our gaze and just slow down a little bit. You know, I was looking at a list of things. Jesus, like I said, he did lots of things at festivals and feasts, and he was on his way to or on his way from or at when he got interrupted many, many times. It'll say why Jesus was on his way to a blind man, when Jesus was coming back from a crippled lady. It all, you know, everything is just, you know, while he was on his way to. And I was thinking, because that's what I do. I was thinking, what if Jesus would have been in the summer in Wisconsin? What kind of feasts and festivals could we have found Jesus at? Well, he might have went to the National Mustard Day in Middleton, Wisconsin. Or the Corn Fest in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Susie the Duck Days in Lodi. I've been there. You buy these little plastic ducks, they put them in a big tub, and then they dump them off a bridge. And then they all run down in 20 minutes and meet at the other end of the river and see whose duck got across first. And then they win something. Okay, or you could go to Eau Claire and do the U.S. Open. Now, that sounds pretty good, doesn't it? U.S. Open Chainsaw Sculpting Championship. You can go to the Watermelon Fest in Partyville. You can go to a Bacon Bash in River Falls. Or my favorite, you can go to the cow chip throw in Prairie du Sac. And if you think, what in the world is that? It's exactly what it sounds like it is. So those are the feasts and festivals Jesus might have been at this summer if he would have come to Wisconsin. He is here, but I don't know that he was at the festivals. At any rate, you say, well, how am I supposed to help people? What am I supposed to do? Well, the Bible says, I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed some clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Now, none of that, you know, takes a big education to understand that. You don't have to know Greek or Hebrew to figure out what I just read. Another way to say that is do what's in front of you. Do what's in front of you. The place to start is always at home. Focus Church is our home. Those around us are our family. You're considered family when you walk in our front door. What, with that in mind, how many of us have ever been hurt by family? How many of us have ever got our feelings hurt at a family reunion? That's almost a word to groan at anymore. You don't hear a lot of people say, oh, I'm going to my family reunion. They say, oh, our family reunion's coming up. We are a church, whether it's this church and you're part of this church or you belong to another church. This church or your church are part of your family. And it is sad when people no longer go around family because of a past hurt. Even sadder yet when people quit a church, get mad at God because someone said something decades ago that hurt their feelings. Our first act of compassion can be show some unmerited grace. No one, pastors included, are going to get it right all the time. None of us are always on the right side of the street all the time. Act of compassion, another one, is toward yourself. Don't allow hurt, misunderstanding, rob you of your family, of your friends, and maybe even your faith. We have all said and heard people say, I went to that church in the first 10 minutes, I knew I would never be back again. Our greeting team is known as the first impression team. You could help make a first impression. And I'm not up here peddling my team, but I will. You know, if you get that out of that and want to join the teams, you can. But our greeting team is called First Impressions. You don't even need part to be part of a team. If you stop, what you may not realize is most visitors come to church early because they don't want to get embarrassed walking in late. So when we come into the building in the morning, before, and we set all our stuff down, I challenge us, don't sit down and just wait for everything to start happening for you around you. Look around, see who else might have just come in and they're sitting here. Go up and greet them. Let them know that you see them. Sometimes I think we can get a little bit, you know, well, I sat down in church today and nobody even talked to me for 10 minutes. Well, then I say, if you've been here a while, and I'll say this as gently as I know how to say it, which might be a challenge, is, you know, if you're sitting there and you're all worried about some, nobody is talking to you, how about get up and look and see who else is sitting alone? Touch their life today. There's a scripture in Proverbs, which I'll refer to later too. Proverbs 11:25 says that to you who refresh another, you yourselves will become refreshed. How many of us, I know there's a lot of us, that have been to, you've been counselors at camp, Special Touch Camp, Camp Daniel, the Lions Club, Badger Camp, whatever camps. And at the end of the week, I've done these camps. And you pour a lot of you in there. And by the end of the week, your butt is dragging and your heart is smiling so big you don't have room for it in your chest. That is that scripture. Those that refresh others will themselves become refreshed. As a foyer family host, you just meet and greet everyone that comes in the front door. You may say, oh, no way, that is so far outside of my box. Then let me invite you, not necessarily to move out of your box and move into a new box, but how about you just take a vacation from your box? Just one time. But I will warn you, once again, Proverbs 11:25 says, if you refresh someone else, you may very well enjoy it yourself. Just want every one of us to move to our next level. Whatever the next level is for you. And none of us have arrived. None of us ever will arrive. There is a place each one of us just step in more into what God has called us to do. And is Zach up here this morning? No, Zach isn't up here this morning. But Zach is one of our teenagers that makes coffee out in the cafe 3 out of 4 Sundays a month. And if I understand my Bible, that when Zach is making coffees, when he goes home on Sunday, he can say, I have touched just as many lives as the pastor has touched. Because he did what God called him to do. And Jesus said, no matter what you're doing, whether you're up preaching or you're out there making coffee, do it unto me. And the Bible tells in several places how much that means to God. How that blesses God. So no matter what you do in this church, if it's just one person and you stuck out your hand to look someone in the eye, shake their hand, and I'll give you all permission. When I shake your hand, if I don't have my eyes on your eyes, you can check me on it. That's me moving to my next level. Not just zooming on past, because like I said, by nature, I'm a get-her-done person, and I can walk right past you, even though I'm shaking your hand. I had an elderly gentleman ask me years and years ago. I walked up to him, and I said, hi, Herb, how you doing? And he grabbed a hold of my wrist, pulled me a little bit toward him, and said, now, do you really care, or are you just making conversation? And I don't know if I admitted to him that I was just making conversation. But I want to quit just making conversation. Now, with that being said, most times on Sunday morning, I don't have time to have a 15-minute conversation with each one of you. But like I said, I just want to get better at letting people know they matter. When I look at you, I want you to know that I'm looking at you. And, you know, when you greet at the front door or hospitals, going to hospitals, that's another one of my responsibilities that I enjoy doing. I got to spend time with Ruth Martin in the hospital. I went to Kim Sampo's, had surgery recently, and I went there. And I spent lots of time with Michelle and got to listen to her say funny things under sedation. And that... that was fun. And then Peggy, why Peggy was saying goodbye to her husband who lost his battle with cancer. We sat and we laughed until we cried. And then we cried until we laughed. And then we laughed until we cried some more. And none of that takes any training. That just is one of those things that when you're moved with compassion. Compassion is an emotion. It may be an emotion that has movement with it. Moved with compassion. And it's, you know, it's a joy. One of our ladies had a tree that was cracked in her front yard. And Brother Ken Nagel has said to me and to Pastor Ryan, and I don't know if all of you have this file in your head, but him and I do. If you've ever said to me, "Hope, if there's ever anything I can do," you can bet I have this file in my head right here. And I will remember that you said that to me. And when there's something that needs to be done, I will be calling you. But Ken took his trailer in his truck, and he went over and cleaned up this tree that was all broken down. Each week, I go to my computer, and from a list, and most of you can probably say you know this, I look on my list and see it generates who's missed for 2 weeks, who's missed for 3 weeks, who's missed for 4 weeks. And I look at that list, and if they've missed for 2 weeks, you get an email that says, "Pastor Hope and Mr. Jim, we love you." And if you've been gone for 3 weeks, you'll probably get a call from Pastor Hope that says, "Hey, how are you doing?" Because sometimes there's stuff going on in the lives of each one of us. Nobody else knows about it. And you may be missing two or three Sundays because you're actually ill. You had a death in the family or something. And if we don't know that, we can't reach out to you. So we'll talk more about that on the reflections cards. That please let us know. You know, and that will be good for all of us. And then there's another thing. A lot of Sundays I have people come up to me and say, "Hey, where is Fred and Tilly? Haven't seen them in a long time. How did Joe do with his surgery? How did Janet do with her court?" And I'm going to start a new thing. This is part of my growing to my new level to encourage you to grow to your new level. I'm going to say to you, "Well, it sounds like the Lord is putting Joe and Tilly on your mind. I think you should reach out to them." That is a congregation call, not just a pastor call. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't mind getting a call from two people. It would be just okay with me if two people called me up and said, "How are you doing? How's Jim doing?" Last year when Jim was in the hospital for many times, he was in there 4 times in a total of 74 days. Visits meant a lot to him, but one of the visits that meant a great deal to him was when Dave and Edna came. Now, for those of you that know Dave and Edna, know that, and we had a lot of weather last winter. It seemed like it was snowing or freezing or something all the time. And for Dave and Edna to physically go to the VA hospital and see my husband took some on purpose, you know, compassion to go over and see him. And so when Jim was packing up to leave one time, because I think, you know, we think that we've got to spend all this time. I can't do that. I don't have time for that. How long does it take to pick up your phone and say, "Tim, how are you doing? How was that job interview? Did that go okay for you?" And then shut up and listen so Tim could answer. Another one of my flaws that I'm working on, moving to the next level. And I could do that call and touch his heart and his life in less than 30 seconds. Snail mail. Oh my goodness. We punch and click and push and knobs and all this kind of stuff anymore. When is the last time you received a real letter or a real card that the mailman brought to your mailbox? I think that's just really pretty cool myself. I love getting cards that, you know, you're excited. Oh, it's handwritten. Wow. And then you flip it over and it's got a stamp from somebody that wants you to donate to them. Then my heart falls. But how long would it take to sit down and write a card and say, how are you doing since your surgery? When Jim was in the hospital and we were packing up all of his stuff, and he said I could tell this story. packing up all the stuff and getting ready to go, there was some blank cards in a stack that a school had brought for the veterans. And each one of them got about a dozen blank cards. And my daughter said, Dad, what are these cards here? Nobody even wrote on them. To which Mr. Jim said, these are make-out cards. I said, what? And he said, these are make-out cards. Of course, the nurse and my daughter, you know, snickered about that. And I said, Jim, what do you mean they're make-out cards? I've never received a make-out card. And he said, well, duh, they're cards that you make out yourself. So, you know. So when you pick up the blank cards from now on, you will know that you are filling out a make-out card, okay? That's what it's for. But my whole point this morning is let's take time to love on each other. Because as a unit of ministry, we are only as strong as we are together.